And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton hosting here for you. Hi, how are you? Hope you're having a big day today so far, wherever you may be listening, or however you may be listening. And however you're listening, I really do appreciate the fact that you're listening. Thank you so much for being there. It means a lot to me, and I appreciate the fact that you carve a little time out of your day to listen to this. Wow. It's the midweek edition. It is hump day. It's Wednesday. It is also a day of mourning for the nation, as declared by President Trump, as the nation mourns for the passing of former President George Herbert Walker Bush, Bush 41. And today the service will be held in Washington, D.C. As a result, federal offices, government offices are closed today, as are the post offices. So unless you're getting a special kind of delivery package through the Postal Service, you won't get that today. So don't bother running to the mailbox. There's not going to be anything there. Not even your junk mail will be there today. Bless your heart. It is, aside from that, it's kind of a chilly day. Wherever you may be, I hope you're staying warm. If you're standing in line at Walt Disney World, it's like 49 degrees and you're standing outside waiting for the gate to open. Bless your heart. It's a chilly day pretty much everywhere. Unless you're living somewhere in South Florida, in extreme South Florida, where it's a bit warmer. Regardless, here we are. And I have to start off today by admitting I was wrong about something yesterday. Sort of. And I'll get into that in a few minutes. Also, we'll look at how the Bush family has decided they don't want any anti-Trump silliness going on at the funeral. They don't want their dad's funeral. They don't want George H.W.'s funeral to be a circus like the McCain service was. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's back in the news again. She's actually said a couple of things that are loopy. We'll take a look at least at one of those today. And why are Democrats struggling to relate to voters? Why? Well, Senator Hirono of Hawaii has an idea. It may not be a good idea, but she has an idea, and we'll look at that in a little while. First up, though, yesterday I said that French President Emmanuel Macron would be a typical progressive, and he would not back down on his exorbitant taxation of fuels, fossil fuels, 60%, 59 to 60% taxation on fuel. Now, you stop and think about it. If 60 cents of every dollar you spent on gasoline was taxes, do you think maybe, especially if it drove the price up to where it's just like, well, I'm sorry, but I can't come over today. I have no gas. Now, if it got to that point, I think you would probably rebel like the French people are rebelling, wouldn't you? I think you probably would. The deal is that he has backed down, sort of. He's agreed to postpone a pending fuel tax, the tax that sparked violent demonstrations in the European nation, in France. He claimed the fuel tax was necessary to combat climate change. Okay. He originally announced a 30% tax hike on fuel would be going into effect on the 1st of January, and that sparked weeks of protests. Since the heightened violence erupted on Saturday, 4 people have been killed in riots that resulted in another 100 injuries, 400 arrests, as leaders seek to tamp down the unrest. Yesterday, Prime Minister Edouard Philippe held a news conference announcing that the increased tax on fuel would be delayed by 6 months. Delayed. Again, I say delayed. NPR. By the way, if you listen to NPR, you have to prop your radio up and make it lean very as far as you can to the right without tipping over just to balance things. NPR reported that Philippe said on French television, quote, "One would have to be deaf and blind not to see or hear that anger. I hear it. It is the anger of France, who works hard and struggles to make ends meet. No tax is worth threatening the unity of the nation." Rioters have looted stores. They've set cars on fire. They've vandalized both the Arc de Triomphe and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier amid their outrage. The fuel tax is part of President Macron's broader environmental initiative, which is designed to fight climate change, but its announcement served as a breaking point for French citizens, as voters' views of the young leader have soured over his 18th months in office. Critics have accused him of favoring the rich in his reform agenda, and his constituent favorability ratings toppled from hovering in the low 40s during the summer to 28% as of last month. So his approval rating sits at 28%. That's about half his fuel tax rate. The big deal here, as I see it, and I talked about it yesterday, is that this man is willing to add another 30% of taxation on top of what he's already got there in order to fight something that is not really, truthfully, scientifically been proven to exist. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, let me just say that all of the proof, and I'm air quoting, proof of climate change is based on, not on actual real data sets and measurement. It's based on computer models, which are not built on real data sets and measurement. It's built on computer models, which were built on earlier computer models. So what we have here is it's a campaign to save the world from something that we actually don't know exists. Imagine, if you will, let's make this a science fiction movie for just a moment. How about that? There's an alien force. We've been told by the government that aliens are coming to invade our planet. We have long-range satellites. We've focused the Hubble telescope. We have highly classified images that we cannot show the public. And we have determined that this mysterious object approaching Earth at a great distance is an alien attack force. They're coming to invade our planet and to take us all slaves. They're going to terraform the planet to suit their needs, strip it bare, and move on. That's a common theme in some science fiction movies. And so the governments around the world all decide to build an amazing weapon to defend the planet from these aliens. And to do it, they tell everyone the aliens are coming, and they know the aliens are coming because all of the data, the computers tell us the aliens are coming. And in order to fight the aliens, they must pass extremely high taxes in order to fund the project to build the weapon to defeat the alien invasion. And everybody in the world is scared to death. We don't want to die. Yes, you can have our money. Please fight the aliens for the sake of the children. Give them a future. I don't care what the tax rate is. I can live off of peanut butter and jelly. Heck, I can live off of peanut butter. Hey, I can live off of, well, just take my money. But what the government isn't telling people is that they really don't have any clear pictures. The data sets are calculations based on theory, and nothing is really coming. Nothing is really coming. But they're not going to tell you that, because it's important for them to be able to control that amount of income. It's important for them to have your money. I know this sounds, it sounds wrong. But we're dealing with people who are in government. And you have to remember that our founders saw government for what it was. It was a necessary evil. And that if it was allowed too much power, it would just get hungry for more. And it would continue to grow until it overlorded over people, until it ruled people, which was what we were getting away from when we founded this country. They knew from their experience and from watching what had happened in Europe how people handle life when they're given power. And our government and the governments around the world are doing exactly that. When it comes to climate change, it's the boogeyman. It's the alien invasion fleet. It's the evil that's coming to destroy our planet. And the only proof we have is computer models based on earlier computer models, based on theories, based on supposition. There's really not anything firm there. So what we're doing is we're gearing up to fight the big invasion that's never going to happen. Is the climate changing? You darn tootin' it is. The climate's been changing for as long as we've been able to measure it. Are we influencing the change? Nobody really knows. And your liberal friends will say, can we afford to take that chance? And your response needs to be, I don't know, but we certainly can't afford to do what they want us to do. And we can't afford to give them more money and power. Because we know what happens when they get more money and power. You see, government spends money even when it isn't there. If we give them more, and we grant them permission to do things with it, then they'll just keep on spending until there is no more money to spend. And they'll keep on taking power as long as power is accessible to them. So we have to be very, very cautious when we're dealing with the necessary evil that is government. This is why our founders wanted to keep it small. That's why our founders wanted to keep it local. Government is fine when you can get in your car and go to the offices of government and have your say. But when it's at a distance, when it's thousands or a couple of thousand miles away from where you live, and it's difficult for you to actually go find the guy that you voted for and read him the riot act for breaking his promises made during his campaign, then something is wrong about that. So we don't want these people to have more power and control and money. Remember, politicians are empowered by spending money, and they don't have any of their own. Every dime they spend is yours. You should have a say in how that money is spent. You're supposed to. And you should tell them, absolutely not. You won't spend any of my money on this fool's chase of the invisible monster. You won't do it because it hasn't proven to be true, and there's not enough evidence to even suspect that it is true at this point. You haven't proven it, so no, you can't have any more of our money. In France and other nations around the world where leftists are in control, they have managed by fear for long enough. And the people are starting to step up and say, that's enough. In France, what we're seeing is people rioting because of the climate change agenda. They've finally had their fill. No, you've already gone to the bottom of our pockets. You're ripping holes in the bottoms of our pockets and you're trying to find more money. No, you can't have any more. That's what they're saying by rioting. It's not about fuel prices going up. They're not just rioting about some unknown policy. This is about the fraud of climate change. That chicken has finally come home to roost. They have finally had enough. And they're letting people know they've had enough. And we need to be aware that that's what's going on there. And Macron and his people, the people behind the climate change agenda, have overextended themselves. And now they're paying the price for it. And has he really reversed? No, he's postponed. Now, I said he would double down. Well, no, he didn't double down. Not today. But in 6 months, he very well could double down again. We'll have to see. So, the Bush family are behaving like adults, and that's refreshing. We'll take a look at that coming up after the break as the Daily Perspective continues. You are listening to the Daily Perspective, the home of life, liberty, and the daily pursuit of absurdity. And a little bit of truth as well. Mark Congleton here, hoping you're having a great day so far. And I'm also hoping that you, yes, I'm looking at you, Shorty. I'm hoping that you have signed up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. If you haven't, what's up with that? Come on, man. I made it easy for you. Just go to one of the Facebook pages, either the Mark and Mac Show or the Daily Perspective page, and click the sign up button. And before long, you'll be getting the daily show notes and more coming directly to your inbox. It's really that simple. You get all of my notes, all of the links to everything from each day's show, plus things that didn't actually make the cut. And from time to time, as my somewhat oversaturated little brain gets fascinated with something, I'll start typing, and the next thing you know, you've got something extra coming at you in your inbox as well. So sign up today. That's the Daily Perspective newsletter. And join the ever-growing family that's taking part in the Daily Perspective in their inbox. Well, the Bush family has decided they don't want any anti-Trump sentiment at Bush 41's funeral. The memorial service for Senator John McCain at the Washington National Cathedral was a disgusting display. Partisan politics, with the Arizona senator's daughter deriding President Trump as a coward, not worthy of shining her dad's shoes. Before that, the funeral of Minnesota State Paul Wellstone turned into a partisan debacle, with Democrats turning the service into an anti-Republican hate fest. But that won't happen at the memorial service for George H.W. Bush today. The family has already laid the groundwork to make sure the service does not become political. And unlike McCain's service, the Bushes have made clear they want the President of the United States, Donald Trump, to attend. The Bush family contacted the White House this past summer to say that President Trump would be welcome at the funeral scheduled for today at the Washington National Cathedral, and to assure him that the focus would be on Bush's life rather than their disagreements. That's what one former administration official has said. The truth with Trump allows the Bush family and the nation to honor the legacy of a president who guided the United States through the 1991 Persian Gulf War and the breakup of the Soviet Union without becoming mired in today's toxic politics. Trump, in turn, has been effusive in his praise of Bush since his death last Friday and paid respects Monday night at the U.S. Capitol, where the 41st president is lying in state. Meanwhile, a former Bush associate told Politico that the service will be about the celebration of the noble public service that George H.W. Bush gave. It's not going to be about anybody else. I don't think it's going to be about Trump. He said if anybody at any time knew anything about the 41st president of the United States, they'd completely and totally understand that he would welcome the current occupant 100%. That's what an aide said in the office of the former president. They went on to say this is the way the country says goodbye to presidents. Trump has bashed former President George W. Bush several times and angered the family when he dubbed another Bush son low-energy Jeb. But he's already sought to defuse any tension, sending the presidential plane to Houston to pick Bush's body up and deliver it to Washington, D.C. The White House has also made Blair House, the official guest house across the street from the White House, available for the Bush family to use during their time in the city. Meanwhile, First Lady Melania Trump, who represented the White House at former First Lady Barbara Bush's funeral back in April, invited George W. Bush's wife, Laura, to the White House Tuesday. And for his part, Trump said, quote, President George H.W. Bush led a long, successful, and beautiful life. Whenever I was with him, I saw his absolute joy for life and true pride in his family. His accomplishments were great from beginning to end. He truly was a wonderful man and will be missed by all. You know, Trump and George W. had never met until yesterday. I think it was yesterday. They've exchanged jabs at each other, but they've actually never face-to-face met, and they finally have. And I think one of the things that W. will probably realize after spending a little time around Trump is that his Twitter persona and his persona at public speaking engagements is exactly that. It's a persona. It's what he does for the sake of marketing and publicity. And this is something we've discussed many times, and that is that as uncomfortable as the Twitter account may make you, that is Trump's way to do an end run around the leftist press. The progressive press is never, ever going to be honest and truthful about Donald Trump because he ran against Hillary Rodham Clinton. He defeated their idol. He won, and he wasn't supposed to, and they're still pissed off about it. Well, you're never going to get a fair shake with them because of that. And I've said this before, but they loved him until that happened. They had nothing bad to say about Donald Trump until he decided to run for president. And then they started laughing at him. Oh, that's just silly. He's a clown. He's just in it for, it's just another publicity stunt. Ha, ha, ha. Gotta love that Trump. Always angling for some kind of publicity. He's just trying to get into the spotlight again. God love him. And then he won the candidacy. And the next thing you know, he was toxic. He was evil. He's an idiot. He's a moron. He's orange. They just couldn't handle it. And he, knowing that he was never going to get a fair shake in the press, decided to become his own press and started using Twitter, saying outrageous and outlandish things. Well, that's not presidential. You're dang right it ain't. And that was the reason. It was to get people's attention focused on those tweets. And I've said it before. Dave and I have talked about it before on the Mark and Mac show. Was that he uses that Twitter account like the laser pointer, and the press is the cat. When you think about it, it's actually brilliant. But it's a persona. It's a tool. It's a method used to market. That's what it is. If it weren't for his Twitter account, we wouldn't know what's really going on and how devious the press actually is, and how juvenile the press actually is. The press, the leftist progressive press, I said this recently, they're like the mean girls in high school. Can you trust them? Not even if you're one of them. You can't trust them. Because they're not going to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you what they want you to know. And I think that W. hopefully will spend some time around Trump. I hope that just a little exposure to him will show him the true guy. Because we hear this time and time again from people who have actually met Trump and spent a little time around him. They find that he is personable, that he's warm, that he's caring. He is everything the leftists say he isn't. But you don't get that when you watch the evening news because their motive is hatred. As I've said a couple of times already, they want revenge because Trump beat Hillary. And W. should understand this. If anybody on the planet can, George W. Bush should understand this, because before there was Trump derangement syndrome, there was Bush derangement syndrome, when Bush defeated Al Gore, the insanity on the left, you could feel it in the air. It was so thick. The Bush derangement syndrome was real. And from the time he won until the time he stepped out of that office 8 years later, the press was 100% against George W. Bush. Because he defeated the person they wanted to win. So they looked for anything and everything they could for that entire 8 years to give him grief about. He only got a very, very, very brief timeout after 9/11. It was an interesting thing. Right after 9/11, after somebody hurt us as a nation and killed over 3,000 of our own in one tower, in the Twin Towers, killed 3,000 Americans, flew airliners into those two buildings, into the Pentagon, tried to get to the White House. That's when we became united, and even the press did, but it didn't take long for them to turn afterwards. So if anybody should understand what's going on, it should be W. And I think he will. At least I hope he will. God love him. Hey, still to come, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has opened her mouth and proven once again she's nuts. We'll look at that in a little bit. Plus, one of your potential Christmas gifts. There's an interesting side story to that as well. When the Daily Perspective continues. You're listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whenever you may be listening. Oh, man. I'll tell you something. Today, I'm watching everything. I'm looking at everything. And it appears that everything is moving along the way it should be moving along today. Yesterday. Yesterday was an exercise in futility. It was just crazy. We had the Facebook live feed drop a couple of times, and then the audio recording that I do every day, for some reason, it just was crazy. There was no way I could use it. And so I'm just kind of keeping an eye on everything today, and it looks like everything is okay. I'm flabbergasted from yesterday. And by the way, I apologize for there not being an audio podcast and the issues we had with the live broadcast and everything. I apologize for that. I'm sure that in some way, shape, or form, it's all completely and totally my fault. Gotta be. I've been around long enough to know when something like this happens, when it goes wrong, it's my fault. I've been married for a long time, so I am very, very well aware that the things that go crazy in life, it's my fault. It just is. At any rate, everything is up and running today. So there you go. Fingers crossed. Well, Christmas is coming. Excuse me. Wow, that went sideways. And a, hang on a second. Let me take a little sugar coffee here. And, that's somewhat better. Okay, now, this is what I get for snacking on these crazy snack bar things during the breaks. One of them decided to rise up and fight me. Parents, at this time of year, they've been trying to pay attention. They've been asking their kids. They've been, you know, what do you want for Christmas? They're trying to pick the right thing for the kiddos. And when they're little, one of the things that parents love to get their kids is Legos. Now, if you're an empty nester, your kids are out of the house, or if they're not at that younger age where Legos are something that they enjoy playing with anymore, odds are you're not aware of how much these things cost. Have you been to the store and looked at the price of Legos? Holy smokes. I'm convinced that they're part gold. They have to be. But we buy them anyway for our kids, don't we? We want them to have fun. And after all, You probably had Legos when you were a kid. They'd even cost a fortune back then, but nothing did. Well, parents go to great lengths to make sure their little ones don't swallow stuff. You know, coins, batteries, pieces of toys, odds and ends, chokeable stuff. You know, kids' world stuff. You're constantly watching. No, 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 don't put that in your mouth. You're child-proofing the world. But inevitably, kids swallow things. And that's why a group of healthcare professionals decided to find out just how long a Lego will stay in the human body. And they did so by conducting an experiment on themselves. You already see where this is going, don't you? Amanda Kuser at CNET reports that doctors associated with a medical blog called Don't Forget the Bubbles knew that there was a lot of data about swallowing coins, the foreign object most commonly swallowed by children. Well, that takes about 2 weeks to pass through their systems. But data on how long it takes a plastic toy, a toy piece, to worm its way through the body, well, that information is kind of scanty. That's why they recruited test subjects with no history of intestinal surgery to swallow the plastic head of a Lego figurine. They then examined their poo to see how long it took until the decapitated Lego head came out. Well, Bruce Y. Lee over at Forbes, we use his middle initial just so you won't think he's a kung fu master, reports that each participant kept a 3-day stool log. No, not that kind of log. A rating their bowel movements using a stool hardness and transit score. Stool hardness and transit. S-H-A-T. SHAT. A SHAT score. The person with a higher SHAT score had looser and more frequent bowel movements, meaning the smiling little piece of plastic may move through more quickly. After swallowing the Lego noggin, each participant was responsible for analyzing their own poo to locate the object. According to the blog, a variety of techniques were tried, using a bag and squashing, tongue depressors and gloves, chopsticks. No turd was left unturned. After reviewing the Lego head, the participants calculated their found and retrieved time. That's found and retrieved time, F-A-R-T. That's the fart score. The fart score, or the number of days it took to pass the Lego. The research appears, actually, in the Journal of Pediatrics and Child Health. It's a real study. I'm not making it up, I promise. I swear with my hand up. It turns out that for most of the participants, it took an average of 1.71 days for the Lego heads to travel through the digestive tract. There is also no apparent correlation between the SHAT and fart scores. But there was one concerning result. For one unfortunate subject, the Lego head never reappeared. The team writes on their blog, perhaps one day, many years from now, a gastroenterologist performing a colonoscopy will find it staring back at him. Can you imagine that post-procedure conversation with your doctor? Oh, well, the upshot of the study is that, at least for adults, the toy object seemed to pass through with no complications. But as they write on their blog, the team cautions that the study really was just a bit of fun before the holidays. And it doesn't apply to children who swallow bits of toys. The sample size was also small, making the study of questionable value to the adult population as well. Stepping on a Lego, however, is a different story. Still, it's probably best to avoid swallowing Legos or toys of any sort when possible and to schedule a colonoscopy after the age of 45 just to make sure everything remains awesome. Everything is awesome. You know what I have to go back to here? I have to go back to this line. It says, the team cautions that the study was really just a bit of fun before the holidays. Fun? swallowing a piece of a Lego toy and tracking it through your digestive system, squishing poo and looking for it is fun? These people need to get out of the lab. I'm just saying, these people need a hobby, another hobby. These people, they just need to get out more. I would suggest, I don't know, maybe go buy a kite. Go out and fly your kite. Do something else for a little while. Don't you think that maybe you could stand to see the sunshine? Breathe some fresh air, especially after this study. Come on. Shat and fart scores? Yeah, you're just kidding around, but you got people swallowing Lego character heads and examining their poo for a couple of days afterwards. Who's having the fun here? It's certainly not the people squishing through their own poo. That's certainly not them. Oh, buy a kite. Buy a bike. Get out of the lab. Do something with fresh air for a change. Please. Oh, my gosh. I don't know about you, but from now on, whenever I see the Lego movie, the Lego Batman movie, or anything else, I'm not going to be able to avoid thinking about the heads of those little characters looking at the camera of a colonoscopy and some doctor in a lab saying, huh, what do you know? Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness gracious. That's just ludicrous. It's loony. It's crazy. It's almost as crazy as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who has said something that you and I have got to think about. Seriously. Here, this is what she has to say.
The idea that we're going to somehow lose economic activity, as a matter of fact, it's not just possible that we will create jobs and economic activity by transitioning to renewable energy, but it's inevitable that we are going to create jobs. It's inevitable that we're going to create industry, and it's inevitable that we can use the transition to 100% renewable energy as the vehicle to truly deliver and establish economic, social, and racial justice in the United States of America.
Oh, so green jobs, renewable energy jobs, are a means whereby we will achieve social justice in the United States of America. How precious. Tied up in the climate change debate is a New Deal-type jobs program for American workers. Representative-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, told a climate change panel on Capitol Hill Monday, transitioning to renewable energy will create jobs and industry. That's what she said. And it's inevitable that we can use the transition to 100% renewable energy as the vehicle to really deliver and establish economic, social, and racial justice in the United States of America. That is our proposal, and that's what we're here to do. Because in the depths of darkness, in the depths of despair, you know, when you think about where we were when the New Deal was established, the New Deal, those of you who know history know the damage the New Deal actually did. Back to what she said. We were a nation in depression, in Great Depression. A depression caused by progressive policies, I might add. We were a nation on the brink of war. We saw the rise of fascism creeping across in Europe. By the way, in case you didn't know it, the Nazis actually studied the fascism of the KKK in America when fashioning things that they did to eliminate the Jews. Well, they loved her. They applauded her. They thought it was just spiffy. But she's loosely connected with reality, if connected at all. She hasn't learned the real history lessons that we should all learn. And she is pushing hard for us to be involved in things that will harm our nation in the future. It all sounds good. Renewable energy. But it's so, so young as yet. It has so much proving to establish itself. And every time the government gets involved, they sink millions into things that just fail. More when the Daily Perspective, whatever it is, continues. I'm still stuck on Legos. I still have Legos stuck in my head. Oh, my goodness gracious. Why couldn't it be Friday? Wouldn't this be a great, fun day to go out on? Oh, my. Well, anyway. We were talking about Senator Ocasio-Cortez. She's talking about this loopy idea, this craziness about green jobs. And this is something we've been hearing for a long, long time, the whole green energy thing. And it's God love her. She's just regurgitating what we've been hearing for decades. And renewable energy is a cool idea. Solar is an excellent, it's just an intriguing idea. And wind power is an intriguing idea. But the way it's sold by politicians, it's like everything politicians sell, and that is, it's a solution for everybody. And the bottom line is, nothing is a solution for everybody. If you know somebody who works in the medical field, ask them about immunizations like the flu vaccine and things like that. It's a one-size-fits-all shot that's supposed to protect everybody from the flu, right? Well, you and I are different. Your response to the flu vaccine and my response to the flu vaccine are not going to be the same. And it's just as true for, like, solar power. Okay, maybe you live someplace where you get a lot of sun. Solar power makes sense. Where I live? Trees, baby. Tons and tons of trees. Got lots of trees. I can't have satellite TV because we have so many trees where I live. So that won't work for us. Solar, we don't get enough solar exposure on most of our property to depend on solar for our energy. In some places, it's perfect. If you're building a cabin in the mountains and you're up above the tree line, go for solar. But it doesn't work everywhere. The same thing for wind power. Doesn't work everywhere. So you have to be realistic about these things. And when she says social justice and racial equality, she's throwing these things in there, just the buzzwords, because she knows that when she says those things, people go, yeah, you're right. You're right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Social justice, baby. She knows it's a hot button. She knows that she'll get people's attention and they'll shove their fist in the air and whoop, whoop, they'll just go nuts. But the thing is, it's disconnected from reality. And that appears to be her hallmark, is being disconnected from reality. Here's another example. Recently elected Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was asked about the possibility of President Donald Trump's impeachment and whether it was too early to start thinking about starting the process. Not to me, she says. She pointed to the Russia investigation and Michael Cohen's false statements to Robert Mueller as reasons for impeachment. She also pointed to former President Bill Clinton's impeachment, mentioning that Trump shouldn't be held to a different standard. Quote, I've been supportive of impeachment for some time now, so I think it just adds to the case. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is outrageous. In 1998, the entire Republican Party decides to impeach Bill Clinton over what standard? And the fact that they have to raise that standard to go above and beyond. Hold on a second. The standard was that Bill Clinton broke the law by lying to Congress. Bill Clinton actually committed an impeachable offense. So far, even though this investigation seems to have been going on for 100 years, They haven't been able to tie anything like that to Donald Trump. Now, to people associated with him, a few, yeah. Related to the Russia investigation? No. So she's using impeachment because, once again, it's a flag she can wave, and she knows that certain people will say, "You go, girl." So keep your eye on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she's a clueless wonder with a lot of power. And I think she is an example of some older people sitting in seats of power in Washington, D.C. as well. Because there's some people in D.C. who don't have any business being there. They don't know what's going on. The people who know what's going on are the people who work underneath them, their staff. And these people are too busy hobnobbing, networking, socializing, going to cocktail parties, campaigning, to actually know what's happening. And they certainly don't know what's happening back home in their states, because they've been disconnected. And a lot of them, when they campaigned on funding, most of which came from outside of their states. So they really aren't representing their people. They're representing the financial interests of Los Angeles, New York, and other places. So young Ms. Cortez is in the spotlight right now because she's being a Twinkie. And I think we need to keep a very close eye on her. Because, yeah, she's entertaining because she's dense and she doesn't know what she's talking about. But at the same time, she's representing the disconnect that much of D.C. and the progressives have from reality. If you want to know what your progressive friends think is important, listen to what this young woman says. And you'll find yourself scratching your head and wondering, how can people live in the real world and think like this? It's because they don't live in the real world. They're being influenced by the entertainment industry, by lying leftist politicians, and they're inside this little echo chamber, this bubble called social media. And they really don't get. They just don't get what's going on. You want another example? Real quick, I don't have much time. I got about a minute and a half here. Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii. She said yesterday, Democrats have a hard time connecting with voters because of how smart Democrats are and because Democrats know so much. She made the remarks while answering a question from journalist Dahlia Lithwick at the Bend Towards Justice Conference in D.C. about what Democrats need to do to make their voters care more about the judicial system. She said, one of the things that we Democrats really have a hard time connecting to is people's hearts instead of here, pointing at her head. She began, we're really good at shoving out all the information that touch people here, but not here in the brain and not the heart. I've been saying it. All our Democratic retreats, we need to speak to the heart, not in a manipulative way, not in a way that brings forth everybody's fears and resentments, but to truly speak to the heart so that people know we're actually on their side. You know what? The left, the progressives, are all about emotion, not about substance. They play emotional games. They are tugging on heartstrings every day. It's how they campaign. It's how they touch people. It's how they manipulate. When it comes to the head, the facts, the real knowledge, they're super light on that. But here, Ms. Hirono is talking about them being so smart, the Democrats being intellectually superior. And it's like I've always said, they see themselves as intellectually superior and morally superior to everyone. That explains her, and it explains Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She believes she is smarter than the average duck. They all do. And they think they should be in office to protect you from yourself because you're too stupid to know that. And you and I know better, don't we? Hey, take it easy. We'll see you tomorrow morning here on The Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.